email is the biggest driver for me in my business. So it drives more revenue for my business than all of my other advertising channels combined. That's how important it is. And the way that you really want to do it is people sift their emails into two categories. Emails that have a commercial intent, so they sit in like the C group, and then there's personal emails and they sit in the P group. And every single company that sends an email, in the subject line, it will be all letter case, or God forbid, it will be all capitalized, the subject line. You'll open it up and there'll be like the header of the company with their logo on it. Immediately, you know that's a commercial message. Archive, delete, right? Most people open up their inbox and they go tick, 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 archive. Everything that looks like it's from a commercial business that is not important, they archive immediately. So personal emails are the ones that get opened. Therefore, your emails must look like personal emails. There must be all lowercase in the subject line. There must be no logo or HTML header at the top. It must just come from a person and you must write it in a very conversational and colloquial way.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology, and more to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Hey, hey, Samantha McLean from Elite Agent. Sabri Subi is a serial entrepreneur who runs one of Australia's fastest growing end-to-end digital marketing agencies, King Kong. Having originally founded the company in 2014 from his bedroom, in under 5 years, he has successfully built a blue chip clientele, many of them in the real estate industry. Having just released a book, Sell Like Crazy, Sabri joins us on the podcast to talk all things digital marketing in real estate with some great tips. For example, why you should perhaps be rethinking your approach to email marketing while the market is a little slower, the difference between Facebook and Google advertising and when to use each, along with how to move the marketing needle when your business really needs it. Okay, so welcome to the podcast, Sabri Subi.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us a little bit about yourself first up and your agency, King Kong, because you do a lot of work in the real estate industry, don't you?
Yeah, sure. So I started King Kong just over 5 years ago from my bedroom with no more than $50 and a computer that my girlfriend had called me. And I basically rolled up my sleeves and made 150 cold calls a day. And fast forward 5 years on, we've turned over more than $20 million in revenue. We're an end-to-end digital marketing agency. We're the number one fastest growing agency in Australia, and we really help our clients grow their businesses by increasing their traffic, leads, and sales.
Interesting. So we started a lead agent in a laundry, actually. Like, you know,
I love it.
It had a good view, but there was undeniably a washing machine next to us. So I know how we went from where we were to here, but can you tell us a little bit about how you went from your bedroom to several million dollars in turnover?
Yeah, we're doing in excess of $12 million now in revenue. Basically, I made the decision on the 14th of March that I was going to start this business 5 years ago. And I got all my PDF brochures all in place. I was ready to get on the phones. I knew that I was going to start cold calling. And then I just loaded $50 into my VoIP account, put a headset on, and I literally started dialing for dollars. And, you know, it was tough. It was a really tough gig. The market was a lot more saturated. The waters were really bloody from competition. And so many people were getting called from all over the world, from people telling them they can miraculously get them on the top of Google, right? Like every single business owner gets 1,000 emails a day. And then, you know, it took me about 2 or 3 days to get my first client. And then I really just parlayed that. And by the end of the first year, I had a whole bunch of clients and was really in a completely different position.
So your first client pretty much led to your next client, led to your next client, and your first client was in the area of search engine optimization?
Yeah, so I was calling people that were running Google AdWords that didn't appear in the organic free listings on Google, mm-hmm. and was like, hey, like I noticed that you guys are running a lot of ads, but you don't appear anywhere in the organic listings, and that's where 60 to 80% of all the traffic really goes. How about we look at getting that sorted for you?
Clever. So basically, it's a bit like real estate in that you know where your prospects are if you can Google them and they're not coming up.
Correct.
Interesting. So let's talk about real estate for a second because you do work for some of the bigger real estate companies in the digital space. What do you think they're still getting wrong about digital marketing?
I just see so many real estate agents just doing selfish marketing is what I call it. I literally got a piece of direct mail last week, and I won't shame the guy's name, but it just said his first and last name with the logo of his real estate agent that he worked for, which was a big real estate agent, and it just said, "I am here." That was the headline on the brochure. And it was just like he was there in his nice suit with a logo on there, just announcing to the suburb that I live that he is there. That is just the most ridiculous thing in the world. If you're looking for buyers, you know, you need to lead with your best foot forward, and you need to provide value to those people in advance from ever asking for anything in return. And I see with the real estate agents, they're typically quite self-absorbed in terms of having nice cars, nice suits, and it all being about them and how they're such a great agent and look at all these houses that they've sold, rather than providing value to that prospect and really helping them get to the end desired state that they want to.
So if you were to change that marketing around, what would you advise?
I would advise that some kind of real estate agents are certainly starting to pull their finger out, and they keep on sending out direct mail where they're like, free appraisal, free appraisal, free appraisal. If you're going to be selling your house, it's very threatening to have some real estate agent who's just going to keep heckling you all the time come into your house to give you a free appraisal. So that's not the very first question that goes into somebody's mind when they're looking to sell their house. The very first thing that goes into their mind is, yeah, how much is my house worth? But that doesn't mean that they're ready to invite this person to come into their house. So a strategy that we would use is, say, for instance, you're living in Bronte. You know, we would make a 2019 price guide for houses that have sold in Bronte. That allows someone to give us their name and email address in exchange for finding out how much properties in Bronte sold for. And that's so much less threatening. And that allows us to identify people that are in the market to buy, because you're not downloading these things just for fun on a Friday night. So it allows them to raise their hand in a sea of people that says, yeah, look, I am in the market. Then once you've got their name and email address, then you can start to deliver things like tell them tips about if you paint the front of your house, if you do the gardening, if you put a carport on, if you do these certain things, they're going to increase your house price dramatically. 80% value, 20% pitch. So I would provide some value to them in exchange of some tips. And then I would say, hey, if you're liking this content and you see value in what we're offering for this month, you know, we're offering 5 people in Bronte free appraisals on their house, and we'll give you a blueprint. We'll give you a 22-point checklist of everything that you possibly need to know to sell your house. And it's just so much more compelling, and it's so much more inviting, and it really allows you to open up a conversation with a much larger pool of people.
You also just there touched on something I'm pretty passionate about, which is 80-20 and lead generation. Work with the people that are going to want to work with you rather than chasing everything that moves. What do you think are some good tips in terms of chasing the right people as a real estate agent?
The way that I look at it is I look at all the processes that are involved on how to take a complete stranger and then turn them into a high-paying client. And most people are walking around and they're trying to basically make marriage proposals to complete strangers. So I've got like this whole analogy of like how to take your prospects from Tinder to Netflix and chill. And really it's all about like, what are those steps? So you mentioned people are kind of chasing everything that moves out there. And that's because they have one event that takes place, like is a free appraisal or a lead, and then they treat all of those leads entirely the same way. So by leading with like a free report or a price guide or something like that, or a checklist, you're one, identifying what we call a lead, people that are in the market. And then the next step up is by offering, you know, a free appraisal or a site visit or something else of value. Then that really is becoming like a prospect. That's a hot prospect that's kind of itchy to buy. And you're not kind of heckling and chasing them. You're using marketing to pull them towards you and be magnetic to your marketplace. And it's a completely different dynamic.
You know, it's interesting. There are people that do get scared by real estate marketing because what we move every like 8 to 10 years these days, like that number has increased. Some people are just not ready to move, and the thought of seeing a real estate agent
is terrifying.
So what's your advice for digitally keeping in touch with those people until the moment when they are ready?
Great question. So the way that I look at it is you're 100% spot on. People are terrified. And before somebody fills out like a contact form submission on a website on realestate.com, you can bet your bottom dollar that just before they click that submit button, they're thinking in their mind, what is going to happen? Do I really want to do this? And for everybody that does, there's at least another 10 people that don't, if you just look at the sheer numbers. So realistically, what you want to do is you want to lead with something that is very low commitment. So no phone number, just name and email address, maybe suburb if you want it. That's completely fine. Nothing that's going to self-identify and say, hey, like, give me a call. Do you know what I mean? That's people's worst nightmare. People don't pick up calls from their best friends and their mother these days, let alone a complete stranger trying to sell them something. So I think that leading with something like name and email address. And then you're right, if you know that people are moving on average, you know, every 8 to 10 years, you just want to be providing that email database with value and building yourself up as the authority and the expert. So when it does come time to sell your house, they're not jumping on Google and Googling best real estate agents in Bronte. Like, they've already know about you. They know, like, and trust you. You've built all this rapport with them, and then they're going to reach out to you. And doing that through email is the best way. It doesn't cost you anything more, and there's always going to be a percentage of the people on that email list that is going to reach out to you every single month and say, hey, yeah, I'm interested in you listing my house for me. And that's just the easiest, lowest cost way to do it, is an email.
I get a million emails from real estate agents, email marketing emails, which you obviously know a lot about. And a lot of them are just listing a random recipe sometimes. But they're all kind of the same. How do you stand out in a sea of emails when the average consumer gets somewhere between 120 and 180, I think, emails a day?
Great question. This is something that I'm really passionate about, because email is the biggest driver for me in my business. So it drives more revenue for my business than all of my other advertising channels combined. That's how important it is. And the way that you really want to do it is people sift their emails into two categories. Emails that have a commercial intent, so they sit in like the C group, and then there's personal emails and they sit in the P group. And every single company that sends an email, in the subject line, it will be all letter case, or God forbid, it will be all capitalized, the subject line. You'll open it up and there'll be like the header of the company with their logo on it. Immediately, you know that's a commercial message. Archive, delete, right? Most people open up their inbox and they go tick, 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 archive. Everything that looks like it's from a commercial business that is not important, they archive immediately. So personal emails are the ones that get opened. Therefore, your emails must look like personal emails. There must be all lowercase in the subject line. There must be no logo or HTML header at the top. It must just come from a person, and you must write it in a very conversational and colloquial way. You must tell people what's going on in your personal life, not just how many houses you sold last month. Tell them everything that's going on. Do you know what I mean? Tell them all your troubles. Tell them about your dragon, fire-breathing mother-in-law. Tell them about all these certain things and bring them in and entertain them. The main thing when I push out an email, the number one thing that I fear is that it's going to be boring. People want to be entertained. They live vanilla lives. They need some spice. You want to go in there and provide value, but make sure that it's entertaining. And you just have your basic email signature in the footer with your logo, but don't make it all really official, like, dear reader, and no, none of that stuff. Just start your emails mid-sentence, go into it conversationally, provide some value to them, and then you can lead with like a PS and have like a pitch in there, if you're interested, blah, 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 go to this page. But that's the thing that everybody's getting wrong. They're just hammering people with the same generic crap and they expect to get a huge different outcome.
So that's a really counterintuitive tip there. And if I could just summarize it for our listeners, it is put away the MailChimp headers and footers and things like that and actually just write like you're a real person, like you're talking to me, and sign it off as though it were coming straight from Gmail.
Correct. Like, I sent an email out on my daughter's second birthday of us cutting her birthday cake, and I can attribute exactly how much revenue that brought into my business. And it wasn't just like, hey, here's my daughter and here's our birthday cake. It led in with that as like the grabber, because it's personal, right? If you got an email from your family, it's going to be like, hey, look at my little two-year-old, look how big little Teddy's got, or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And then go into how that relates to what you're doing. I'm not just talking about nonsense for the sake of it, but make it entertaining, make it personal, and make it engaging. I get stopped literally every week from someone who's on my email list that feels like they personally know me.
So before we press the record button, we were talking about the market slowing and people's tendencies to pull back on costs, particularly marketing when the market slows. And we both agreed that that wasn't the best strategy. Why do you think that is at the moment, and what should real estate agents be doing with their marketing at the moment while the market is slow?
The way that I look at it, you look throughout history and you look historically, you look at the wealthiest people in the world, like Warren Buffett. He made all of his money in down markets. And it's typically the businesses that keep on aggressively advertising in tough times, during recessions, through market contractions, that when the market comes out and it starts to go on the upward trajectory, they're the ones that are in a dominant position because there's not so much noise. So I really think that you should still aggressively market and push forward and really build your dominance, build your email list, build assets that maybe for people that aren't ready to buy right now and they're not going to look at selling their property right now when it's at the bottom of the market or we've still got some way to go and maybe we're not at the bottom yet. But they're certainly out there and they've identifying because they're downloading some free content and they're giving you their email address. And when the market does turn, you're the one that has literally been the narrator through that whole process. And then everyone's like, okay, the market's turning, let me list my house. And you will be inundated with people that want to list with you.
Interesting. So you've also got a 4% rule for moving the marketing needle. Can you tell us a bit about what that is?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, really in business, the thing that is the tip of the spear is sales. Ultimately, a business lives and dies by its ability to bring in revenue. So really the way that I look at it is when you're a business owner, your number one task is to push the business forward and to grow the business and to grow the top line of that business. That's what I call revenue producing activities. So there's the whole 80-20 Pareto's principle. Then if you 80-20 it again, you essentially find out that 4% of your activities result in 64% of the outputs. So they're the 4% of activities that really move the money needle. They're the things that you really want to look in your business and write down a list of everything that you do, all the errands, emails, going to the post office, following up on prospects, all of that kind of stuff. And then you want to basically cross out anything that does not move the money needle and does not push your business forward and isn't tied to revenue. And you want to hire somebody else to do those other functions, or you want to outsource them, or you want to automate them. So you can be spending your time on the 4% of activities in your business that are going to produce 64% of all the revenue in your business.
Yeah, interesting. I think for whether you're in real estate or whether you're in any business, really, it's a good exercise to go through is to write down those activities that you do every day.
Until you do an audit of your time, the way that I suggest to do it is in 30-minute increments for a week to actually see where your time goes. Or if you really want to be alarmed, like open up your iPhone and go look at how much time you're spending on your iPhone a day. It's ridiculous. When I go around my office and I see how much time people spend on their phones, it's pretty sickening to say how much of a time vampire that is. And I think that even if you just cut that out completely, you'll see a huge increase in your revenue.
Yeah, absolutely. So with social media these days, there's a theory that Facebook's like a coffee shop, if you like, and Google is where people do business. Where do you think real estate agents need to focus more of their time at the moment in lead generation, on Facebook or Google or both?
Facebook. Obviously, I am one for advertising on as many channels as possible. I look at each individual advertising channel as its own little entity. And if I can make a profit on that, it does not cost me money to advertise on that. If I do not advertise on it, it's costing me money because that's revenue that I would be losing if I wasn't advertising. So Google is obviously where, you know, people that we call prospects with a bleeding neck that are looking for an immediate solution to their problem. So someone that jumps on to Google and types in best real estate agents Bondi Beach, that's somebody that is in hunt mode, that is specifically looking for a solution to their problem. But that search might only get 140 searches per month. Then you've got 16 to 20 people on page one of Google that is all fighting for that 140. So if you're lucky, you're getting 10 to 20 visits per month from a keyword like that. And then you have to think of how many of those people are actually going to convert into a lead. So you might get one or two leads a month, right? It's not really something that's just going to completely dramatically scale your business up. Where something like Facebook, it allows you to push your message in front of people that would be a good candidate for your service, regardless of whether or not they're actually looking to sell right now. And you may be able to convince them to, or you might be able to give them some information that moves them one step closer to that. It's definitely more of a process involved on something like Facebook. I see that a lot of real estate agents will generate leads on Facebook and be like, oh, these are shit leads. These guys aren't ready to buy right now. And it's like, no. they just aren't on Google. They're not in hunt mode right now. And there needs to be a certain process in place, just like with dating, in order to get them to that place where they are ready. But that's ultimately where the biggest opportunity to scale a real estate business lies, is your ability to turn cold prospects into listings. And you need to have a completely different approach, as you would. But it's just like how people go and do mailbox drops and have done that since the dawn of time, since real estate agents, is getting people that own a house that could be a good candidate for what you're selling. And Facebook allows us to identify who are the people that own houses and how do we put a message in front of them that's going to stimulate that curiosity.
What do you think the future of marketing looks like? Marketing's changed a heap in the last 5 years, 10 years from letterbox drops, which none of us particularly like anymore, to digital marketing and Facebook and things like that that we've just talked about. What does it look like in another 5 years?
The robots are coming. What I mean by that is the AI robots. They're really moving into every single industry right now, and advertising is definitely no exception. We're seeing stuff on Facebook and on Google where they're actually removing the ability for a human to actually go and control certain functions. And you have to basically put in just a few variables and let its AI just determine what's going to be the best, essentially what's going to make them the most money and get you the best output. So for me, the way that I look at it is, if you look over the last 200 years, technology has changed dramatically with the introduction of the telephone, and then there's fax machines, and then TV and all these different things. But the thing that hasn't changed is the psychology behind it. Human beings haven't changed in so many years, in decades and, you know, centuries, really. So I'm always fascinated not so much by the technology, but by the psychology behind it. We're a channel agnostic agency at King Kong. We don't care what channel that we advertise on. Where are our prospects? Where are the eyeballs? And really understanding the rules of persuasion and how to get people to take the actions that we want them to. There's a huge convergence online right now. If you look at, you know, there's more Netflix subscriptions in the US than there are cable TV. There's more Amazon Prime accounts than there are landline phones in America right now. So there's this huge migration of everybody moving online. I believe that this year will mark the first year that people are spending more time on social media than they are on television. So there's a lot more eyeballs moving online. You're going to be using a lot of deep learning and AI to be able to more intimately understand prospects and really understand when they are in the market, when they're not in the market. But ultimately, it's still going to come down to those fundamental primal desires that people have and how to tap into them and get them to basically do what you want them to do.
So if I could summarize that, people are still going to have problems. And as marketers, we need to solve those problems. It's just that we might have a bit more intelligence on how to deliver the right message at the right time.
Correct.
Or at just the right time.
Yeah, at just the right time. If you boil business down to its first principles, it's fundamentally all about solving problems. You get paid to solve problems, and it's not like technology is going to remove people from having problems.
Very true. Might actually create some more, actually.
Correct.
So you've got a book out at the moment called Sell Like Crazy. Give us a 5-minute summary of what that book's about.
Sure. So the subhead of that book is how to get as many clients, customers, and sales as you can possibly handle. And that's really a dream come true experience for every business owner. And you might think that that sounds more easier said than done. But really what this book is about, it outlines an 8-phase secret selling system that I have really developed after generating over $400 million in sales in over 167 different niches. So I've been at this game for a while right now. I've been doing marketing and sales ever since I was 17 years old and really on the front lines of capitalism and really finding out what it takes to grow a business. And this is what I've really boiled it and synthesized it down, is there's this simple 8 steps that any business can literally run through with a checklist at the end of every single chapter that runs people through. This is exactly what you want to be doing. And not just the esoteric principles, but the down and dirty, hardcore, no bullshit in the trenches stuff that actually works, and giving people the tactics and templates where they can literally apply it to their business immediately to literally explode the amount of leads and sales that they're generating.
So we'll leave some links for the book in the show notes. Now, if there's one thing that you want listeners to remember as a result of listening to all of this, because there's been a million little value bombs all the way through this podcast, what would it be?
I think that if you're going out there and the path that you're on is to build a business, whether it's a real estate business or whatever it might be, is that you don't want to compromise on how big that you can build something. And I think a lot of the times people think like, oh, the bigger that I grow this thing, the bigger the problems are going to be. What I found from going through all the different trajectories and all the different stages and evolution of a business, the difference between running $1 million business and a $10 million business isn't that much difference, right? But the upside is a lot greater. And I just basically urge people to think bigger and to push really hard. The thing that motivates me is looking at where I am right now, what am I doing, and then thinking, if I met myself in some parallel universe, would I believe that I was living up to my potential? And it's always the divide in between where I am right now to where I think I can possibly push it that keeps me motivated and keeps the fire in the engine. And that's something that I think is really important to encourage and business owners.
I think that's great advice for everyone. Sabri Subi, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
My absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.